This is Victoria Davis, a.k.a. The Victator.
This is Sarah Klein-Sundberg, a.k.a. Gail Manis.
And you're listening to Living and Loving in NYC. Woo! So today we have a special guest. Who's a bit of a celebrity, but I should also tell you where we are. We are sitting at Miss Manis's table. Drinking some Modelo's, and there are some cats licking themselves in the background, which I always love pussy licking, so that's pretty good.
I was just gonna say that is not a euphemism, but I guess it is a euphemism.
No, there are pussies licking themselves at this point. Which if my pussy could lick itself, I wouldn't leave the house. Let's just put it that way. So, special guest, a bit of a LLI NYC celebrity, meaning you've heard her name, but you have no idea who she is. You probably thought we were making her up. We have Vintage Brit, who is the source of old co-host's name, New Brit. So she is the OG Brit. There are a couple of Brits out there, but you are the first. She is my best friend. I hate that I don't see her that much anymore because she left this fair city, and she makes me giggle in a way that sometimes makes juices come out of my orifices. Is there anything you'd like to add about yourself, Vintage Brit?
Thank you, Victator. Thank you for having me be an esteemed guest on the show. I'm actually calling myself an esteemed guest.
Yeah, none of us.
Thank you. My name is Delaney Britt Brewer, a.k.a. Vintage Brit. I'm happy to be on this show with my best friend, Victoria Davis, who makes me giggle and makes my pussy lick itself. Oh. Something that like, you know, friends say to each other.
Yeah, no, it's what bros do.
Yeah, bros lick their own pussies.
Yeah.
Why don't you give us a little bit of background? Like, this is the opposite of a job interview. We're going to ask you uncomfortable questions.
Yeah,
like
please
do. Your sexual orientation, relationship status, and things of that nature.
Sexual orientation, I guess I would identify as lesbian.
Lesbian.
But I feel like I live my life as a pansexual.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's the first time I've heard you say that.
Yeah.
When you say you've lived your life as a pansexual, what does that mean?
I mean, you know, I've dabbled in ponds.
Oh, okay.
Multiple ponds.
You've dabbled in some dick ponds.
Yeah.
Some puss ponds.
I've dabbled in the D and I've dabbled in the V.
Yeah, got that. Cool. And what about now? Are you seeing anyone special?
I am seeing, can I say she's the love of my life?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm with the love of my life. Can I say her name?
Of course. Yes. That's her. It's up to her. Well, yeah. we'll edit it out like we did in the last episode.
I am dating Beep.
With Boings.
Yeah.
Which we hope you all enjoyed.
She is amazing. She is a director. Awesome, hilarious, amazing person, and I'm blushing talking about her, so she's clearly very awesome.
Yeah, she's a cool chick.
She's a cool chick.
Stop talking
about your freaking girlfriend.
That's cool. So I want to tell a short story before we begin, and then I want, which is unrelated to what we're going to talk about. A coworker of mine was telling me about her ex-boyfriend, and she was telling, first of all, she said that he didn't really understand that there were certain days of the month that a woman is more, cisgendered woman is more fertile than others, which in itself is kind of like, why are you having sex when you don't know these things? It's just basic biology. But then, like, they started talking about what happens during the period. And he was like, oh, well, yeah, you know, all that mess that comes out because you're shedding the egg. And she's like, well, I mean, that's part of it, but, you know, the eggs...
Sorry, school nurse, I'm, like, shedding the uterine lining.
Exactly. Yeah. There we go. She's like, the egg is, like, the size of, like, smaller than a pinpoint.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't create all that, like, stuff. And then he was like, no, that doesn't make sense. And she's like, what do you mean it doesn't make sense? And he's like, well, if a chicken is this big, and you can imagine how big my hands are right now, and their egg is this big... If a human's this big, their egg's got to be, and he's holding,
no!
Like, he's holding like the size of a football.
Oh my God.
Explaining.
Oh my God.
And she's like, She's like, so wait, you think I'm just walking around with like a a big old egg in me?
Oh my god, I'm crying. At all times? Oh god.
So I think, you know, just a PSA, if you don't know that humans and chickens are different, you shouldn't be.
Yeah, it's sort of terrifying, like people's lack of knowledge about basic anatomy.
Yeah, learn some anatomy before before you stick it anywhere or take
into
it anywhere.
A football-sized egg.
Right into that football-sized egg.
I mean, these are the effects of not having sex yet, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't want to offend anyone. I was going to say he's from a certain state, but I don't want to offend everyone in that state. But let's just say that state needs some more sex ed. so, I just whispered it. And then also before we get on, before we started to record, Miss Manus was about to educate Vintage Brit on a certain Omohi that has a special meaning that she did not realize, and I did not realize either.
Mm.
So can we talk about this, Miss Manus?
Well, it's eggplant emoji, which I thought it was generally accepted that that's a dick. In sexting, or just in general. I don't know. I'm gonna offend my friends, but I'm just gonna go for it, because that's what this podcast is all about. Actually, first came up...
Is this podcast all about offending
people? Offending your friends, yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. And maybe if you're lucky, some people who aren't your friends as well.
We aim to...
offending strangers and friends alike.
We aim to reach a lot of people with our offense, yeah.
Well, a friend of ours used the eggplant emoji on her Instagram, because I think, I don't know, it was in conjunction to her kid. And I was like, oh, ha, does she know what that means? Mm-hmm. I said to the Victator. And the Victator was like, no, does it mean something special? And I was like, yeah, Dora, it's a penis.
She's trying to say that her kid was a dick?
No, I think she just didn't know what it meant. And that, which made me wonder, if there's like a people who bone dudes versus people who don't bone dudes discrepancy here?
I think there is, because I feel like I've seen the eggplant emoji.
Yeah.
Emoji, as you say.
Is that Spanish for emoji, or is that how you actually say emoji?
I have no idea. Okay. I just think it's more fun to say emoji.
Emoji.
Okay, emoji.
I feel like I've seen that scattered in Instagrams where it would be wildly inappropriate to be bringing a penis into the mix.
But the thing is, I asked someone else after you told me this if they knew that, and they're like, duh. And this is someone who barely like uses cell phones or technology whatsoever, and they're like, yeah. But granted, this is also someone who ticks the cuck a little more often than me or Vintage Brit do.
Yeah.
I
just want to say, I'm not crazy. It definitely means penis.
Yeah. So, is there a pussy emoji?
Taco.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Or the cat. There's a bunch of cat emojis. You can totally use those too.
But like, that's understood, because I feel like I've sent taco emojis to people like, let's get tacos, and I guess they think let's get some pussy.
No, I mean, to be honest, I think that the eggplant emoji is much more universally accepted to be a dick than any one emoji is a taco. The peach is definitely a butt.
Is it universal dick, or is the eggplant a dick, like? Is it a more meaningful dick? Is it being like, when you send someone an eggplant, are you like, I want my dick to do something?
No, it's just dick.
Just dick?
Yeah. Like, okay. I mean, I don't feel like it necessarily implies that you're sexting a person.
Is it like, my dick is so purple right now because I'm so hot for you?
Could be. I don't know. No, but I mean, like, if you're like...
your genitals turn purple, it's hot for someone.
Really hot.
Do you think that eggplants and penises have like do they have a likeness?
I mean,
well, I think is it because like eggplants, like is it also supposed to be like cock and balls, because eggplants are kind of like round out at the bottom?
I don't know. I think it's just like the most suggestive fruit or vegetable. I mean, there's like the corn on the cob and the banana, but like neither one of those are. It's a phallic emoji.
I think I'm gonna go with it's like the full phallus. I think it's dick and balls.
But also, it has that like stem on top, so that's kind of like an uncircumcised dick.
Mm.
Huh. Yeah, maybe.
That's how I would see it.
But do you think this is? I don't know. I just thought it was like. I always feel like I'm a little behind on these things because I'm not a millennial. So I was like, oh, like I'm the last person to know about sext emojis, I thought. But apparently there's a lot of people out there who don't use them.
I was late to the emoji game in general. And as these guys know, I am quite into social media and technology and things like that. But I was late to the emoji. My soft joke was that I repressed my emoticons. But I'm more into it now. But I think
you're very reticent to use an emoji.
Yeah,
that's true.
I used to be very reticent because I was like, I'm a writer, I don't use emojis. But now I just use them all the time.
Yeah, now I'm like multiple exclamation points emojis.
Yeah.
I'm like a 14-year-old living in Tokyo.
Yeah, yeah basically, we should all be 14-year-olds living in Tokyo.
So actually,
I don't know. My spouse probably thinks so. Yeah, he grew up there.
Well, my same-sex lover, Kate, into emojis.
Oh.
Yeah, she was like, you will love it. And I was very, very, very disbelieving. And then she was right.
Do you sext emojis?
No.
No.
No. Should we bring up...
I was going to ask...
Yeah.
I was going to ask, do you guys sext? But then I remembered that
CFS.
You guys have a very
We have a Victorian, sort of Victorian era style of...
sexting or sex
sex emailing.
Why don't you tell us the way that you and your same-sex lover communicate about your sexual desires? This is pretty special.
Well, we call them CFFs.
Which stands for?
Oh my god, we're going to have to edit this because I actually can't remember what it means. Celebrity. Thank you. Thank you, my biographer.
Yeah, I got
that. CFF stands for Celebrity Fan Fiction, and... we're not celebrities, so I don't know why we call it a celebrity fan fiction, but basically we concoct scenarios that we are in, where I guess we are the celebrities of this fan fiction, and we will write each other, like email scenarios of like different like sexy things that we want to do. But sometimes like they'll take place in a boarding school. Sometimes they'll take place like in a farm.
Yeah.
Sometimes it'll be like breakfast CFF.
What's breakfast CFF?
That just means that like I'm making breakfast and like this is actually gonna be sounds like a horror film and then she comes up behind me. But we don't do it as much as we. This is reminding me that we need to like reincorporate this into our relationship. Mm-hmm. But in the beginning, we would like write each other very elaborate CFFs, are we not gonna be able to use that?
Yeah, go for it.
Actually, now I'm blushing. Do you want to ask me any questions about?
No,
CFFs?
I'm curious.
Ms. Manus is a curious.
It was a CFF. Yeah. Is that like? Is it you? Is it like, are you writing this in like first and second person, or is it like
It's like I'm doing this.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Got it.
So basically, well, we have college CFF, and that's where she is like a bratty like. Well, okay, so we're living in the same dorm room and we're on the same hall, and I'm like really moody and she's like really bratty but a really good student, and we have a huge exam the next day. And I go into her room because I need help studying, but like I don't want to because she really annoys me in class, and she's really annoyed by me slash like isn't. She actually is pretty into me. And so we start off, and I should say, oh wait, I think maybe I messed this up. We do write each other in first person, but sometimes we also just like actually write the story. So it's like, so you're doing this and then I'm doing this. So the college CFF, don't kill me. I don't go into like too much detail, but basically like I go into a room and then one thing leads to another. Mm-hmm. But it's also sort of like telephone where like I'll start the story and then she'll write back and like...
I love that. That's awesome.
Isn't this so hot?
I'm like a fan. Like I've had several relationships where like emailing was a huge part of it. And like I would like... I mean, nothing as elaborate as what you were saying, but I would just basically write, like, long sex scenarios that I wanted. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's such a great way of, like, both, like, building anticipation or, like, foreplay or whatever, and also just kind of communicating what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just, I think that's so much fun, and I wish I did more of it.
Though she does say that when I write CFFs, like my character is like a spider because I always have like multiple arms. Like I'm able to do like I'm just like you're doing.
Like, then your arm is here.
Yeah, then my arm is like, here. Yeah, she's like, wow, you're doing a lot of stuff in this scenario.
Yeah.
And
I can't say that I've done a lot of CFF. But The closest that, well, I mean, I've done some sexting and I've done some emailing, and the emailing also, like, tends to involve a lot of pictures, which in hindsight I regret a little bit.
Wait, you email the pictures?
Oh yeah.
You don't text the pictures?
In the past it's been, well, no, there's been both.
Okay.
But for some reason.
So those pictures are in the cloud.
No, those pictures, yeah. Oh my God. Actually, well, I'll get to that in a second. This horrible thing that happened. Anyway, but, the only time I've really ever engaged in something CFF-ish is kind of embarrassing because it wasn't involving me and the other person. We were actually CFFing, but, like, about the L word, but we both got, like, so... We were just, like, talking. It was someone who I dated, and then... Well, whatever. Anyway, we weren't technically together at the moment, mm-hmm. And then we were just talking about the L word, and she was talking about how into Max she was, and I was talking about how into Carmen I was, and then I was just, like, getting really into,
you
like,
would be.
And no. And then I was just getting into, like, about how much I, like, you know, liked her booty. And then all of a sudden, she just started with, like, yeah. And then you take her shorts off, and you're, like... And then it just, like, just started rolling.
Then it was full Max and Carmen fan fiction?
It was a full Max and Carmen, and we were G-chatting at the moment. And, like...
That's awesome.
No, but then it was, like, it started out just, like, oh, hey, what are you up to? What are you up to? And then it was, like, you know, like, pounding the fucking keyboard, like, and... Yeah, and... I still remember how intensely my clit was throbbing, how intensely...
I gotta say, is this weird? I'm getting a little, like...
Yeah. I was getting a little, when you were talking about college CFF.
Oh,
how intensely, you know, my heart was pounding. And I definitely, like, obviously rubbed one out afterwards. But the thing is, I was so into the actual story that I waited to rub one out, like, till it was done. Because I just didn't want to stop. Because it was mentally just so fucking hot.
Yeah.
So I'm into the mental hotness of all
this. I actually want to look up to see if there's any... I mean, I would love to read yours, I guess. Is that weird for a bro to say? But I would love to see... I would, like, love to read some Max and Carmen fan fiction. That would be really good.
Yeah.
You think it's still out there? Of course it's still out there.
My G-chat?
No. Do you think people are still thinking about the L word?
Oh, yeah, because...
I think so.
Well, yeah, because there hasn't been any good replacement of softcore lesbian porn.
Good?
Just, yeah.
I don't know. Good and
no,
the L word
don't good.
Necessarily...
It's not good. It's not good, but it's what we had.
Yeah,
for a
yeah.
while. And true. If you're like me, and you know, this is interesting. I actually am really not that... I think we've talked about porn a little bit on the show.
Isn't Orange is the New Black kind of a new element?
Yeah, it kind of is. But, Miss Maine, it's not like you and I have talked about porn on the show. I feel like maybe New Brit and I touched on it a little bit. But I this is like something that I'm actually ashamed of sometimes about myself, that I'm not that into porn. When I do like porn, I like guy and guy porn.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is,
there's
so
many lesbians who are into guy and guy porn. What's
yeah,
up with that? I feel like that's how I know that I'm not like 100% lesbian, is that I don't necessarily go to gay man porn. I mean, I appreciate it, but it doesn't really turn me
on.
The
only thing I liked about that movie with Julianne Moore and Annette Bening,
The Kids Are Alright.
The only thing I liked about that movie was the fact that they, even though they brought it up in, like, the most, like lame way, was that, like, lesbians watch gay man porn.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think in popular culture that had ever actually been addressed.
No, but it's true.
It's
yeah.
very true.
So many. And I could be wrong about this, but, and I actually really like the way that they described it to their kids.
Yeah.
Where they're like, sometimes we like to see, like,
visceral.
Sexuality, like, externalized and
yeah.
things like that. And because the thing is, I can be totally turned on by the image of, like, a hard-on. Like, I
yeah.
absolutely can. I mean, it's tautology, but, like, sex is sexy. And, but also, it's, when I watch two men in porn, even though, like, yes, not all guys that do gay porn are gay. A lot of them are gay for pay, as the term is. It's also so much more believable than when I'm watching two women. Like, it's just, you know,
yeah.
I see it and I believe it. And I think when we're talking about this, Miss Maine, is not on the show, but together, about how porn, lesbian porn, like... Okay, I'm not trying to insult anyone.
No, go for it.
Here.
Insult me.
I'm not you. Are you a lesbian porn star? Filmmaker?
Not yet.
But, okay, obviously the lesbian porn that's made for men is only going to do so much for us women. But then...
I mean, you don't like fingernails, like, stroking, like, a breast implant?
shockingly, no. But, But then there's the lesbian porn that's, like, bi women, but for women.
The bi women, well, now probably by like.
By a lot of different genders.
By a lot of different genders for a lot of
different
genders.
And a lot
genders.
Of different gender expressions.
Yes.
And, you know, it's all like ethical and body positive
yeah.
and all that stuff.
And
here's,
so
here's the thing. I'm attracted to a lot of different types of bodies. So it's not that. And I'd rather like anyone with like a real... anyone with like a real body compared to someone with a fake body. But we've discussed this. If I am going to watch porn... Oh, I wasn't talking to you about this. I know who I was talking to this about. If I am going to watch porn, and I don't know what the fuck is wrong with me, I kind of am more turned on by there, like, some disgusting imbalance in terms of, like, gender or power.
Oh, hell yes.
Like, absolutely. I don't know what it is.
Oh, you want, like, some daddy stuff?
Oh yeah. Well, which, okay, but not actual daddy? Remember,
no,
as we discussed
no.
in the
yeah.
previous episode. But I want, like, well, no. And I,
you don't
want
porn hosts with your dad in them.
No, I definitely don't, which I'm sure that there are, because my dad was disgusting.
But you want a power discrepancy.
Absolutely. And I was
that's the number one thing that turns down in porn, by the way, but sorry.
No, absolutely. And I was talking, and I remember who I was talking to this about. Sorry, I thought it was you, Miss Manus, but...
It's exactly
like,
the kind of thing I would talk
there
about.
Was,
so don't be
there
sorry.
Was a girl that I dated in my early 20s who was really into porn. And so I bought her these... I didn't know anything about this is back... I'm old, guys. This is back when you didn't download porn. When you went to, like, a video store and, like, had to, like, pick it out and shit like that. And I bought two porns. One was called Nine Lives of a Wet Pussycat. And the other...
We're bringing it back. There's a
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the other was just called Dirty Old Fuckers. And,
oh my god, that last one sounds so
awesome.
DOS.
The thing is, she laughed at me so hard when I bought them, like, made so much fun of me,
no.
and then it was just like this joke between us. But no, hang on.
Was it like a bunch of Harvey Keitels?
Like, you want to suck a cock like a dad,
yeah.
like a lieutenant?
Yeah.
Oh god, that is hot and so gross. But yeah, but then the thing is, a few months later roll by, I walk into our bedroom and she's totally rubbing one out to Dirty Old Fuckers. And I'm like, see? And she's like, you're right, this is like really fucking hot.
Well, I
so,
think, I mean, well, we don't have to drill down if you... Oh my god.
Oh, she's so drill.
We don't have to like get too into the whole, well, what is not working with you about most lesbian, like for her by her porn? Because let me
consent?
Yeah, I was gonna say that exact same thing. No.
Because what if it
yeah.
was what if it was some dirty old like lady fucks?
I would honestly, I would be so into like mildly non-consensual lesbian porn or some like just like gnarly older butch just like
oh, yeah.
fucking the shit out of somebody
was,
in the
like,
bathroom.
Well, yeah. Never mind.
But like, no, I feel the same way. And I'm actually like, I don't know. I was going to say, I struggle with this, but it's not true. I don't actually struggle with it very much at all. My favorite kind of porn, and it's funny, I just had this conversation with my spouse, but like, my favorite kind of porn absolutely is stuff that's like slightly wrong. I like real porn, first of all. Like, I like porn that's very clearly amateur porn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not
like Suicide Girls kind of stuff?
No. Like, actual amateur
porn. You're
really
doing yourself there.
Yeah.
Well,
no, I know they're still doing
it. Yeah. Well, no, what's the new version? What's her name? Sonia?
Oh, Stalia?
Stalia.
Yeah, no. I mean that I like porn that's clearly shot like by somebody who was not getting paid for
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
And you know, like the camera's a little shaky, like the angles are not great, like
mm-hmm.
all that stuff. And I think part of what I like the realness of it, but I also like it to be slightly wrong, and I think that usually includes slightly non-consensual. Not like extremely non-consensual.
Yeah.
Like there's shit out there, like weird like Russian like pornos that I've seen that are just like, whoa, okay, that was like really bad, like, you know. And like I don't like it when it's like, whoa, I just witnessed a crime.
No, that's
but if it's more like kind of people are like a little uncomfortable, somebody's a little too drunk, or like
right.
that kind of shit, I like.
Huh.
And I'm totally into that.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, because I don't actually want
yeah.
to be non-consensual. I just really like, I mean, okay, but that said, okay, no, I mean, I don't. I'm going to make it very clear.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch non-consensual
sex. Is this like
no,
a bigger,
I don't mean,
bigger
I
question
don't...
of how to be a feminist with like non-consensual porn or?
Yeah, it's like, but no, I don't, like Miss Maida said, I don't want to see anything where crime or someone's I guess the reason why I'm having a pause where I'm saying, oh, I don't want that is, but then maybe I do, is that I like the role play, like, porn of it not being consensual, yeah, of being some gross guy and some pretty young girl. But I was going to say, but that's just play. That said, of course, you know, if you're really watching a porn with, like, some 18-year-old, hopefully, girl who's making, like, $50 to be, yeah, in this porn, you know, because she needs it for whatever the fuck, how consensual really is that anyway, even if it's just play? So,
I mean, I don't know. It's a whole lot of a conversation, but, I mean, I feel like, you know, people... I'm pro sex work, you know? Like, people can, like, be in porn and get paid
not,
for
you're
it.
Not,
yeah,
you're not. I'm mostly pro, yeah, sex work myself. However, you can be pro sex work, but also acknowledge that in many cases, it's not a fully consensual agreement when you're considering, like, if there are, like, dire straits involved.
Yeah, and, sure. And, but, know. I mean, like, but there's so many things in our society that are not completely consensual when it comes to dire straits being involved, or sex for that matter.
That's true. Bad feminists, aren't we?
But I don't know. I think I like the power. Like, I like there to be some kind of power imbalance. And I don't know. Why do I find that hot? I don't know.
But do you think if there was, like, sort of like a dirty old butch and, like...
Oh, know, yeah, totally. That would be super hot.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Do you want from porn what you want in your own sex life?
There are things that I like in porn that I would be very hesitant to do in my own sex life just because it would be, like, difficult to do it in a safe manner, mm-hmm, I think. Mm-hmm. Like I told... Yeah, whatever. I'm just going to let it all out there. I really like gangbang porn.
Okay. What? Lady doesn't. Really?
Yeah.
And that is a thing that, like, I would be into in theory, but, like, I feel like... the logistics of actually setting, mm-hmm, it up in a way where I'd be comfortable with it or like, overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know?
Hard to attain.
Yeah.
Yeah, safe
but,
fan.
But I mean, that said, like, I for sure... I don't like sex that's actually non-consensual, obviously.
Of course,
but
yeah.
I do like it when it's, like, a little, like... a little creepy. You know, I've definitely put myself in situations... like, I've definitely had hookups where I was like, I'm like, this is a little wrong,
yeah,
you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, this person's a little gross, or this person's a little... I mean, I famously had a relationship for, like, 4 years. It was like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I find that hot. And again, this is not,
do you,
like...
Do you find it as hot
this is
in
not
your
rape
life?
This is not rape fantasy stuff. I just want to... Not that there's anything wrong with rape fantasies, but that's not really what it's about. It's more kind of like a...
There's an undercurrent of creepiness.
There's, like, an undercurrent of creepiness. There's, like, a subtle, like, pushing of boundaries, maybe. Mm-hmm. There's, like, a little... It's a little dirty, a little sloppy, like, that kind of thing.
Mm.
Like, I'm talking stuff, like, for some reason, I really like... like, real college porn, like frat guys, like, double teaming some, like, cheerleader or something.
Oh,
totally,
totes.
Totally into
oh,
that.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, that's, I think that is, like, one of my
yeah,
mainstays.
That's a whole other
or like
college
or like
CFF.
Or, like, with suburban, like, moms, like,
I
doing it, like, in a hotel room.
Oh, suburban moms.
Yeah.
Or, like, suburban moms and, like, wow, does this even exist? This actually might be a CFF, but, like, college daughter comes home. It's like staying at her friend's house, like that kind of situation.
Oh my god, now I have to search for this.
Wait, college daughter comes home, staying at her friend's house.
And then the mom creeps
and the mom,
on her.
The mom creeps.
Oh my
the,
god.
The friend's mom?
Yeah,
oh,
but
like
actually,
Mrs.
I'm thinking that
like...
this actually is just a CFF.
Okay,
okay.
Yeah. Well, that kind of reminds
you
me of...
put a pin in that. Let's
yeah.
save it for later, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
That would be...
You know what's fucking weird? Is, like, I've totally had fantasies and roleplay situations about, like... you know, like, I'm a young girl, one of my dad's friends creeps in, like, you know, and, like, whatever, right? But I've never had a fantasy of, like, one of my mom's friends, or one of my dad's friends who's a woman, like...
Hmm. It's actually super hot, if you think about it.
No, it is, but, like...
I mean, I'm one for executive realness, so I do sort of like that, like,
executive realness?
Yeah.
Like, she's, like a kind of, like, a stern, like, power lesbian.
Oh!
Like, living her life in secret.
Businesswoman?
Like,
yeah,
she's, like, a businesswoman who's
yeah.
living her life in secret, like, in an unhappy marriage.
Yeah.
And, like...
I'm remarking now. I really never fantasize about, like, the closet lesbian. Or
you want
the,
that old
closet.
Daddy coming in. You want
it's
old nasty
so,
daddy.
I mean,
it's
kind
so,
of
so weird.
I somewhat do, too.
But here's the thing. Like, I was talking to someone about this recently, about how often what you fantasize about and then what you actually want to do can be very different. And, like, you know, as listeners know, and as these lovely ladies at the table with me definitely know, you know, I'll hook up with dudes sometimes, but the thing is, I feel like when I'm hooking up with them, I'm chasing what a fantasy is, but then the reality is, like, not, it's really not what I want. It's yeah. like,
are
it's
you
like,
chasing that porn D?
I'm chasing that porn D. I'm chasing that porn D. I'm chasing that creepy situation. And the thing is, if I am going to hook up with a dude, it has to be creepy or I'm not going to be into it. Whereas with a woman, it's like, you know, it like it can she can just touch me and I'll like light up like it's I don't like I don't like
I totally
I don't
know.
Mind role play with a woman, but I mean I don't need it. Like I just like I just want to be like I just want to be like touching them and
yeah.
all over them and them touching me. Like it's like I don't need that. Whereas with a dude, I need it to be like fucking creepy.
Yeah.
And I do have that fantasy. Anyway, but, like, yeah, then, like, I do it, and I'm like, that wasn't anywhere as good as my fantasy was.
Well, actually, that really illuminates something, because in my pansexual days of my 20s, I'm 35 now, so that time has passed, I think I now realize I would have, like, sort of, like, a D reset button, like...
Oh, the D reset button!
Yeah, the D reset, yeah. And I think that I, too, was chasing the... Not the wrong, but, like, chasing the dirty or, like, chasing something that made me feel kind of icky. But porn icky is different than real life icky.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's... I mean, there's also a thing I feel like... I don't know. There's, like, icky and there's icky. There's, like, icky where it's, like, oh, like, I met up with a stranger, like, in a hotel room icky, which is not actually that icky. It's just kind of porn icky, and I find that hot in real life as well.
Mm.
But then there's, like, icky, which is, like, some, like, asshole, like, actually kind of pushing your boundaries and
yeah.
then, like, being all, like, Mr. Sensitive about it later. Like, that's just wrong. Like, that's not
that's
hot.
That's just
gross.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't like that kind of thing, and I very much, like, I have encountered a couple of times, usually not, like, it's funny, actually, usually when I've been chasing the icky, it's been... People have been very respectful and appreciative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are they in on the ick?
Sometimes. But I think that, like, there have been situations almost always, like, in just meeting people, like, IRL, like, kind of at a party or something. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
some usually in situations where there's some kind of, like, yeah, like, real-life connection, like, friend of a friend or something. And I've hooked up with them, and they were, like, actually started, like, totally without asking, just started pushing boundaries and, like, doing weird shit that, like, I might have been into
yeah.
if we talked about it, but, like, you can't
yeah.
just... And, like, that that doesn't turn me on at all. That just kind of makes me angry.
That's the thing is, I feel like in those situations where I'm chasing the ickiness, I'm still kind of in control of the ickiness.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I've decided that you're the creepy dude that I'm
yeah.
gonna, like, that I'm gonna let be creepy to me. Like, it's I'm still very much in control of it. And that's necessary. But,
Well, I think that's also... Sorry.
No, it's okay.
No, I was just thinking about it also, like, in terms of... I think that's part... The control thing is really important. And I think that's what's part of, like... I think that's part of, like... I'm a big fan of, like, setting up, like, of pre-negotiating sex and, like,
yeah.
setting up scenes, like, whether that is, like, you know, a CFF-type scenario or, like...
I think there's going to be, like, a
hashtag CFF.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I hope
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, whether it's, like, you're emailing about it beforehand or whatever, and you kind of, like, you set it up, you're like, these are the parameters, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you... It's not that you have to, like, follow a script exactly, but then you kind of, like... You've created this fantasy space together that you can, like, play within, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of safe. Like, you feel in control because you laid it out, and it's sort of safe.
But is the
and
ick,
also,
is the
like,
ick still genuine to you? Does it still feel like a genuine kind of,
yeah.
like...
Yeah. I mean, depends on the situation, but, like, yeah, for sure. Like, I've had pretty long relationships where that was a thing, and, like... Yeah. I don't know.
You guys, I think we might have come to a natural segue into what we originally
yeah.
started to talk about.
I was gonna say, like,
I'm
very
half hour without
yeah.
getting to our topic, but I don't care. I'm loving where we're going.
Yeah, no, I mean, I so originally, I guess our topic was. Can I say what our topic was supposed to be? Well, I just said it. We're talking about making this about long-term relationships, maybe, right? So I was actually talking to my spouse yesterday because I was like, listen, we're doing this show and I want to know like what's off limits and what isn't because, you know,
it's
I don't want
to have a consent talk when you're podcasting.
Yeah, I don't want to put, you know, I don't want to put his shit out there necessarily, but I will say that like the, like we, my desire to like negotiate like icky scenes versus his discomfort with that in the context of our relationship has been like an ongoing theme for us and like a thing that we've struggled with.
Huh.
Yeah. He doesn't, he's like not comfortable with that.
But is he into those scenarios when it's not a relationship?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So like, which is like, but I actually don't want to go more into it than that.
No, I understand. That's not surprising. I mean,
But I actually conversely feel like I in some ways are like, even though I can find it totally hot to have like semi-anonymous sex, like chasing ickiness, I actually find it often better if it's somebody I've established a dynamic with, because then I can be like, I feel safer, you know?
Yeah, you feel safer.
And they know what they're doing and they know what I like.
Well, I was also going to ask, and this is...
you don't feel like garbage after. I mean, maybe that's...
Oh, yeah. No, that's a thing. Yeah. Like, I almost always feel like garbage after these...
I think also, and I can speak for myself, but I can possibly speak for you, at least, you know, when you're having these sort of incidents. In my 20s, almost 100% with dudes, I was inebriated a lot of, I mean, not like inebriated, like I was like blackout, but like I was, I shouldn't say inebriated, I was drunk.
Yeah.
And so I think like some of the icky situations also were like followed by like a hangover.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, yeah, and I don't know if this is entirely the case for you, Vintage Brit, but I mean, for me, if I'm going to be with it, and this is, this, I guess, could, this rolls into tricky definitions about consent. But if I'm going to be with a dude and if I'm going to do something icky, I do need to be inebriated.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't chase that when I'm sober.
No.
Now, that said, that doesn't mean that it's like, I'm not saying, oh, I'm being taken advantage of. It's just like, sometimes I'll be like, oh, I'm gonna have some drinks and maybe hook up with that creepy dude.
Yeah. What came first, the chicken or the D?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Sometimes,
the
because
the
sometimes you're like, I'm gonna drink a little bit extra because I got, I don't know, I got that eye of the tiger.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I actually feel like I have like a different trajectory with that, because I think that I started chasing the ick much more consciously after I stopped drinking, and which I think was in part was thrill seeking on my part, but also like I feel like boundary pushing sex or just like advanced sex. Hell, I kind of feel like sex and a lot of drinking don't mix. Like, I don't particularly. Sorry, people. I know. Like everybody in the whole world like drinks a lot except for me at this point. But
no,
like,
no. I think both Vintage Brit and I, who are, we both like drinking.
Mm-hmm.
I think both, I'm going to speak for both of us for a second and say that we both probably agree with you on that.
Yeah.
I just think sex is generally more fun if you haven't. If you're not drunk, and especially if your partner's not drunk, and also if you haven't eaten a ton beforehand, incidentally.
Oh, 100%. No,
so,
drunk and sex, not fun anymore. I will say, since I moved to California, I've been drinking less and smoking more weed, as well as what you do when you're 35 and you move to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I'm not the first. But I will say, smoking weed and having sex is actually pretty cool.
Oh.
I'm sorry, I have to say it.
No,
but only just because I am neurotic, and I know that weed is the world's most dangerous drug.
That's an inside joke between them.
Gateway drug.
It's the gateway to itself, and it's the world's most dangerous drug.
That is dangerous.
Well, yeah,
Only because the Victator and I are incredibly neurotic, and we've had many a bad high. But
yeah, I think we're weed lightweights.
I don't like smoking weed, partly because my highs are almost always bad. I never thought of that because it's a gateway to the self. I just I don't do well socially.
I do horribly socially. I don't want to see anyone. I like want to either like watch Netflix and like eat Domino's, or like, I just think that it can just have, I don't know, I'm going to sound like
But now
deepest.
I'm thinking,
no,
like,
I think it's just, like, in California, it's a little bit, like, everybody else is sort of getting up to this point, but, like, it's just better quality weed.
Oh, absolutely.
And,
yeah.
And I think that it, like, relaxes.
The strain matters a lot.
Yeah.
And it, like, relaxes you and, like, maybe makes you, like, a little bit more open to, like, certain things and, like, not as in your head. And I think that that's. But I'm not here to be a proponent for having sex on
weed. No. I'm not saying that I disagree with you.
Very
inherently. I definitely agree with you about a California pot tending to be a shit.
But I mostly
better.
Just have sober sex now.
Yeah, yeah. And then also the strains make a difference. I've had some really bad sex on pot when I was younger, but again, that had to do with being younger and then also smoking, like, swag-ass pot that I bought at, like, Washington Square Park.
Yeah, which is probably not even weed.
I pretty much picture your teenage years like kids.
It's probably, like, dirt and crystal meth.
Wasn't that different.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, but the thing is, even now, when I have had good pot, and I've been to Cali a few times, I've been to some, you know, Cali, but I've been to some dispensaries and, like, and had the really good stuff, and that stuff, it's a huge world of difference, and I have a lot more fun, but it doesn't really make me horny. Now, when it comes to, this will be a surprise to none of our listeners, the Victator likes to drink once in a while, I
your co-hosts are very surprised.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shocked.
But that said, I much, much prefer, like, sober sex. Especially, like look, a couple of drinks, that might help get you in the mood, right? Like,
right.
It'll help you relax, reduce your inhibitions, all that shit. If you've maybe had, like, one or two glasses of wine or one or two beers, then, like, going into sex is, like, you know, it's not gonna affect you that much. But if you guys have been out all night drinking, like, that's, like, the last time I want to have sex.
Yeah.
Well, not the last time, but one of the second to last times. Like, it's you go home and you're, I mean, yeah, so you're going to fumble around.
Yeah.
And guess what? It's not just whiskey dick. Whiskey clit is a real.
This is a real subway map for
this
you.
This is a real. Oh, yeah, yeah. Whiskey clit, it's like you could be doing everything in the world that would normally get me off, like, whatever. But it's just a lot less likely to happen. And when I'm doing you, you're not going to get my best fuck. You're just not.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I'm just not very into it. Like, I feel like it kind of disconnects me, I think. I think I need to, like, be fairly kind of, like, the mind-body connection needs to be, like, happening for me to, like, really enjoy sex. And if I'm really tired or if I'm drunk or whatever, like, yeah, it's just
you can't drive drunk,
good.
You can't fuck drunk.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm
you
not,
can
I'm not,
fuck
I'm
drunk.
Not saying
you
it's can't. Not,
yeah.
It's not
going
to be as good. I'm not saying
same with the driving, really.
I mean, you can drive. That's fun.
Yeah. You can drive. It's just not going to be as good. That's a great tagline. No, I'm not gonna say there haven't been times where, like, I've been out with the lady and we've, you know, we were both a little drunk and then we just, like, we went for it and had sex, and there have been times when it's been good. I'm just saying it's not reliable. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not whatever.
Also, I think that the morning after is always gnarly, and I think that there have been a lot of situations.
The morning after what?
The morning after drunken sex, especially if you don't know each other,
is
gnarly.
Oh my god, it's been so long.
And you don't, and you, and that person, like, doesn't look sexy in the morning because you're hungover. I mean, sometimes they do. Some people like to have sex with a hangover.
I actually, when I used to drink, I used to be really horny when I woke up with a hangover for whatever
reason.
Oh, it's a great cure for a hangover as
well.
Well,
that's okay.
Waking up horny or having sex.
But again, it depends on who you're with.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm doing one of my creepy motherfucker things with some...
Maybe I should say...
With some creepy
maybe I should
dude.
Say,
but now that every creepy motherfucker who listens to this show is like, oh my god, the Victator isn't creepy.
No, I think you're right. I'm sorry. I should... Let me edit that.
Back?
I'm going to walk this back. If you wake up next to a creepy motherfucker and you're hungover, oh god.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Get the fuck out.
No, I know.
We are not going to brunch.
Yeah.
Leave.
Oh no, but brunch is tedious.
But like, yeah, if you like somebody and the next day, just fuck through the hangover.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no doubt.
I'm real liberal with my F-bombs now.
Now we're officially into, we're talking about, like, times we like sex and times we don't like sex. But, and we're going to borrow a topic from Dan Savage for a second.
Is he taking out a restraining order yet?
Not yet. But Miss Maine has touched on it. Like, oh, if you've had a really big dinner. Fucking after dinner is so hard. It's like, there have been times where there have been times where I've been, like, wanting to mack on a lady, and then she'll be like, oh, let's have dinner, and I'm like, god damn it. And yeah. The reason I'm like, god damn it, is not because I'm worried about them, I'm worried about me. I'm like, if they don't want to have sex later, I'm going to be like, oh, that's too bad. Yeah. But the worst case scenario is they're going to be all up in it, and I am going to, like, I'm not horny because I'm really fucking tired. Uh-huh. I'm gassy.
Yeah.
And also, you might get a worse fuck from me after dinner than you will a drunk fuck.
Yeah.
I'm just lazy as fucking...
Yeah. I would say there's three things going on. There's three... for at least for me, I'm, like, now, like, a bitter senior citizen and, like, I'm a slave to my bedtime.
Yeah.
So if I'm tired, I'm, like, very cranky about it.
Mm.
But I think you can push the tired. But I think... also, the gas,
yeah,
and any kind of salt bloat, like, just, I mean, is the unsexy, like, to me, there's not, like, maybe sushi, like, maybe I'll feel sexy after sushi, or like a light, like a light salad, but like, if you're, like, going for, like, a pasta dinner.
I just want to have time to digest afterwards, that's all. Like, I mean, first of all, like, if I go on dates with people, like, unless it's, like, a date with the spouse where we're, like, enjoying each other's company because we haven't hung out in a while. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm like, setting up a date with somebody, like, it's never going to be a dinner date. Or, like, I think one of my best dates it's a while ago. My sex life is so boring. But a couple of months ago, I hooked up with this person who I went on a date with, like, a year before that. And mm-hmm. we kind of, like, communicated back and forth, but, like... he had a girlfriend, and then, like, he didn't, and then we got together. But we were like, let's make it like a gay Craigslist date. I was like, perfect. I was like, I'll come over to your house. You suck my strap on.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and then we'll go to dinner afterwards.
So let's...
And that was, like, so genius. Because it was great. Like, because I actually like having dinner with people, and I like talking to people.
Yeah.
But then it was like... I got, like, we got to have the sex, and then we ate afterwards, which I know is a standard dance average recommendation.
Well,
but I just feel like it would never have worked the other way around. Like, if we had had, like, we'd started out with ramen, like...
Yeah, well, my girlfriend now knows, and, like, this is, like, a joke amongst us, where she's, like, she has, like, if we're gonna have sex, she has, like, a no dinner policy.
Yeah.
She's, like, perfect scenario.
Yeah.
We have, like, a glass of wine or, like, a drink, mm-hmm. like, good lighting.
Yeah.
And then we have sex.
Yeah.
And then you've earned your dinner.
No, absolutely. No, that's
then
that's
you
a
have
good
earned
yeah.
your dinner. I love that.
Yeah.
Actually, I might like CFF that scenario that you just
yeah.
did.
Yeah.
Like have like a anonymous like
most
anonymous gay hookup.
Yeah.
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 yeah. yeah. No, I yeah. In general, yes, yes. Fuck before dinner. Absolutely.
So wait, what does Dan Savage say? Because I don't think
well,
I've
he fucks first.
He says fuck first, and it's mostly for like couples that are like, complaining about their sex life, and then they like. Then they want to go all out and do, like, this fancy Valentine's Day thing. And he's like, well, you should definitely fuck, because you're going to fuck before dinner, because you're going to have
yeah.
all that wine, all that food, and then you're going to want to come back and have sex, especially with someone you already know. Like, what do you expect?
Yeah, that's a real
yeah.
rom-com fallacy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, I think, like, when you're, you know, it's like, things are a little bit different when you first start seeing someone, and, like, every touch is magic.
Yeah.
Then, like, maybe, like, the dinner thing is, like, you know what I mean?
But I don't do that, though, because, like, I don't, that's kind of where I've started to go before I detoured into bragging about my gay Craigslist date. But, like, if I don't know somebody well, like, if I'm setting up a date, it will never be a dinner date.
Yeah.
I'm always going to make it like evening drink state
because
then we will take care of eating beforehand.
I'm always shocked.
Get a little buzzed and then boom.
Whenever someone goes dinner first, I'm like, why?
Yeah.
It's also way too much like, unless I have like lots
eating
of money.
Eating to me is very intimate,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, I feel like it's intimate and it's also like way more time and money I want to spend on somebody I maybe
no.
don't want to hang out with.
No, but I'm not talking about like first dates.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the beginning of a relationship where maybe then like it's like you guys, you still have that like need to bone you all the time, can't like handle not boning you. And then maybe in that case, the dinner thing isn't as big of a deal.
Yeah.
But But no, first dates, absolutely. I mean, I think I've said this from the first episode. First of all, unlike you, Miss Magnus, I don't want to have coffee. But I also...
Oh, my God.
No
to coffee dates.
Yeah. But I also don't want to get food. And that's not only about, like, whether or not I'm going to get too full to fuck. it's also like, am I gonna want to spend this much fucking time with you? So drinks is always like the way to go. And then if I feel like it, maybe we'll get something to eat.
But coffee is like so brief though.
But yeah, but
the other thing is this is also partly, it's born out of two things. One is that I discovered, and this was during my days of freelancing, although I'm back to freelancing now, that like daytime freelance dates, like awesome. Like you meet somebody for coffee at like 3 o'clock and you or like noon and you can like have afternoon delight.
I love coffee.
Yeah.
I love afternoon sex. I don't like meeting anyone for coffee dates.
Yeah.
I think you're probably more well adjusted than me. But like,
bank on that.
But I think that for me, and take in mind, you know, like a pretty nervous disposition, but like bright lights, middle of the day, you're already nervous. And if you've had coffee before, I feel like your second coffee tends to make you more agitated. I just feel like it's a recipe for agitation. And like, even if you're not like a real drinker or like a big drinker, I think even if you meet somewhere with like low lights, I just feel like it's more conducive. And maybe a coffee date roots out like all of the bad. And like, if you can withstand someone for that first coffee date, you can withstand anything.
But I'm not talking about like Starbucks, you know what I mean? And also coffee is just like any beverage. It's really any beverage that isn't alcohol. I mean, I think part of that came from also like, and I now do drink a little bit again, but I had to like not drink for a long time.
And
then it was like
coffee dates.
And then it was kind of like, you know,
it's just like, what do you do after the, like, that's the thing. It's like the thing, oh my god,
all those bright lights. Yeah. I'm like all agitated. Someone's like, do you want to have sex? And I'm like, no.
I just don't understand the lead in. That's what I don't get. It's like, here we are having this like stimulus.
Hey, I'm really jittery and I've just been rambling about my parents, but do you want to have sex now?
I love afternoon sex. I really do. But here's the thing, I feel like afternoon sex and morning sex are in general,
they're the best.
They're definitely the best. I think not only do I enjoy it the best, I also give the best at the same time, like at that time as well.
Yeah, same.
So everyone has a better time. However, I would say I'm a little more prone to enjoying afternoon sex and morning sex with people who I'm dating. When I'm casually fucking, I rarely go in for that. If I'm casually fucking,
I think it's the light situation. I think like in the beginning you're like less comfortable. Like I think like you're like more, at least I don't know. I think in a new situation, like you want things to be like a little dimmer, a little.
I'm not talking about a new situation. I'm talking about casual fucking versus like, because it could be a new situation and I could be dating that, like it could be newly dating someone.
When I'm with someone and I've been with them, I want more lights because I want to see more of them. Is that really cheesy?
No. Oh my god. No. I feel the exact same way. Sometimes like I really love like just turning on the lights and like looking at them
and their beauty.
But I'm not talking about whether or not I'm saying if I'm like romantically into someone.
Mm-hmm.
I am a lot more likely to, so let's say we bang in the nighttime, right? I'm a lot more likely to want to bang them again in the morning.
And then bang
them all up.
And just
spend the whole day in bed. But if I'm casually fucking someone and, you know, I can enjoy casual sex, you know, and I do when I'm single. It's like usually I feel like in most of my casual sex situations, and we usually will do a sleepover when I have casual sex because I'm lazy. I don't want to go fucking home after that. But like, I feel like most of the time I don't always fuck them in the morning.
Huh.
I just don't.
See, I'm curious though, because I find that like in casual situations, and for me, I don't know. It depends what casual means. Like, there are several people that I've had long, ongoing, but sort of low intensity relationships with, where like, you know, like when we're not dating, but we occasionally hook up,
mm-hmm.
and you know, yeah, in those cases, like it's more likely that I'm gonna see them like midday, but in my spousal relationship, like where we live together,
mm-hmm.
like I mean, I would totally set up sex, like daytime sex dates, but like I just find it's really unlikely to happen. Like, I don't know. Like,
with your spouse or with...
Yeah, or just, like, in general, when it's, like, a more kind of, like, datey situation, then you end up boning in the evening because, like...
But what about, that's like, just sort of set up for that. And, like...
Oh, I loved it. I loved that. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, I just feel like it's not, like, that... Like, the afternoon sex is kind of my favorite.
Yeah,
I love that. I like morning sex a lot, although I'm also a big fan of morning sex. But, like, I just feel like it's, for me, in my experience, it's been less likely to happen
within
a context.
Interesting. I find it so much more.
Let's just say that afternoon sex is amazing because afternoons are bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean, like...
Wait, they're bullshit?
Well, I mean, like, when do you get work done? Like, I don't... I feel like I'm most productive in the morning.
Yeah.
And then, like, evenings, like, I... You know, would maybe prefer to like have dinner or see a movie.
Yeah.
But afternoon is kind of like a dead zone to me where, like, I don't know. I just feel like.
Well, I also feel like afternoon sex is fun because you're like, you're kind of like.
It's naughty,
but you're also fully awake.
True.
And you're not yet tired.
Or drunk.
And it's like a really great time to play hooky.
Yeah. But, like, I feel like a lot of time it's, like, it's more like a date situation and people are not down for that.
Well, interesting. I feel like there's actually another side ep about when couples work remotely, how does that affect their sex life?
Oh, yeah, that's a really interesting one. I find that working from an office... definitely put a damper on my sex life.
Really?
Oh,
yeah.
So do we have different takes here?
I would say it's like a supply and demand thing.
Yeah.
Like, to me, I think if there's demand, you're going to want to have sex more. But I would like to hear your take on, like... So you're saying that you had more sex when you were, like...
I should say here that I don't have a lot of experience... of having office jobs. Like,
okay.
I recently had an office job for a year, but that was, like, the first time in, like, 5 or 6 years that I had an office job.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and that also coincided with living together with somebody for the first time in eons. But, yeah, like, I found that, like, there was, like, no time for sex in the morning, and then I got home and it was, like, too late. To have sex, kind of, a lot of time.
And vintage Brit, are you...
Or also just that, like, it was, like... I think, like, my partner's, like, windows of interest did not coincide with me.
So, like... So, in that way, like, the demand was actually more... proved, like, more conducive. Because, like, you're both there. You're not as tired.
Yeah, I think both, like, working from home, then it's more like, oh, like, it's, like, 2:30. I want a break. Like, hi, I want a bone.
Like, you don't know if it's...
Yeah.
Your employers don't know if it's lunch or boning.
Yeah.
But, so for you, Vintage Brit, you have the opposite experience?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that... I think that there's a couple things going on. I think that, especially in long-term relationships, I think that couples need to be reminded of... It's going to sound like super sex therapy, but, like, that the other person has a passion or is, like, good at something, and, like, that makes them more sexually attracted to them. But I think if you're both just sort of, like, in the same place, it, like, makes it less mysterious and makes it less sexy.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, you're more prone to just, like, house stuff, like, farting in front of each other. Or, like...
That's a whole other topic.
Well, we did talk about that, yeah.
Let one rip?
Yeah.
And when two?
Episode 10, I believe.
Well, if you have dogs, you can blame the dogs.
Yeah.
You know, I can't really comment on this because I've either had an office job while the person I was with had an office job, or
but you've also worked in the same. So how did that work? Like when you have the same job as your partner.
I don't know what you're talking about. No, I really live. We didn't really have the same...
But you worked at the same place.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. But, I mean, that was different. I mean, we were young, and then, you know, we... How was that? So this was when I was very young, and this was working in a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a manager and bartender, and my girlfriend at the time was the phone person. I don't know that affected our sex life anyway. I mean, if anything, I think It probably increased things because we would get like tensions throughout the day.
Oh yeah, that's actually
like,
pretty
like,
hot.
Like snealing,
yeah,
snagging like you know, looks at each other and stuff like that.
I guess you guys weren't at like a boring office.
But we weren't at a boring office. It was different. However, I mean, it was also like she would like cause she where she worked was in the kitchen, and so I would go in the kitchen to like talk to them, and then she would like grab me and like make out with me like in
Ooh,
front of the whole,
that's true, that's
in
sexy.
Front of like the whole kitchen and
yeah.
like, you know how like kitchen guys are gross.
Caliente.
So exactly. Hot.
Exactly they'd say.
Oh yeah.
I just have to say here that I used to work when I was in high school, I used to work at a Pakistani restaurant in Stockholm. And I do know how to say faster, harder in Urdu, just because, like, the kitchen guys are always trying to get me to say
Oh,
that.
No, kitchen guys kitchen guys of any culture, in any nation, are all creepy. That's just the way that it is. It doesn't, yeah, it's just
and
like...
And Vic
like
has
a,
fantasized
yeah.
about you.
Probably, yeah. I would say that definitely, I can't remember that putting a damper on our sexual relationship at all, honestly. You know, later was another story when we weren't working together. But, no, that was, yeah. Did we? I don't know. Anyway, never mind. But, No. I think depending on where you work together, that can be... I think working with someone is probably always going to be hot because then they'll always be naughty. But again, I've really only in that one situation, like,
yeah.
worked somewhere. But the point is I've never been in a relationship where we're both freelance, so... I can't. I've been freelance, and I've dated people who were freelance, but never at the same time, and never being stuck.
Well, it's a question that's probably.
But I will say, you know, I have been in relationships where we both have office jobs, and, I find that as a damper, because you know you're both exhausted. You've been in fluorescent lighting all day, and you feel gross.
Yeah.
And you know, it's you know you all know how it is when you work. It's like. You know, you've been slaving to the man all day, and then you come back, and, you know, you're tired. And
you
then
don't feel sexy. Yeah.
You do want that dinner because you are damn hungry. And then it's like, yeah, it's like, you know, let's say if you work a standard 8 hours, you still probably only have, like, a few hours after commuting to get home and, like, do your own shit. And, yeah, no, I don't think it's conducive to sex.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's like, especially if you live with that person,
yeah. You
know. I mean, it's one thing if you don't live with that person and... you know, you only see them so often, then yeah, maybe it's going to be a little more heightened, but it's not hot,
it's not cool.
Sorry guys, I just like just told you all about things that are like, I'm like, there's no sex. Sex is done in America. Make America sexy again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck Donald Trump.
Hashtag CFL.
No, don't fuck Donald Trump.
Oh, definitely don't fuck Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Please. Does anyone else have any closing remarks before we shut this down?
No, not really. I wish I had something snappy to say.
Yeah, me too.
All right, don't fuck Donald Trump.
Make hashtag CFF a reality.
Oh, yeah, hashtag CFF. And do some CFFing with your own.
Yeah, CFF, seriously.
Thank you so much, Vintage Brit.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was wonderful.
Awesome.
So glad.
Yeah.
So glad we got you. And, all right, peace out. Bye.